This is the KGEZ Good Morning Show with John Hendricks and Robin Mitchell. Now, Glacier Banks Community Conversations. 15 minutes with one of Northwest Montana's newsmakers.
Glacier Banks totally free checking saves you both time and money. Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. And joining us this morning, it is County Commissioner Randy Brodell.
Good morning, John and Robin. It's good to see you guys.
Good to have you. So I got to ask you, what's it like sitting there in Congress, staring up at this dais of these guys? Now, most people who testify before Congress feel like they need to wear asbestos diapers.
Yeah. Especially today, and you know, the last few days with the discussion on the CR going on down there. It's actually not too bad. I've got a little experience at the state level, so testifying before Congress was a little bit different than that, but it was really good to be there.
Was it a friendly conversation?
It was absolutely a friendly conversation. This is about, you want me to talk a little bit about
CR32? Yeah, what were you testifying about?
So what we did is Congressman Zinke's office called and asked me if I would come down and testify on CR3200, which is the Community Enhancement, Gateway Community Enhancement Act, and that really gives local government a voice at the table when federal government makes decisions like the ticketing process at the park that impacts local government. Mm-hmm. But we really have never had a voice there, and that's what this is designed to do. I was testifying in conjunction with the Forest Service and the Park Service, so the three of us were really speaking in favor of this bill because it gives some direction to the agencies. It says, when you make these decisions, before you put it out there for public comment, you have to bring the local government in. It was great support. Chairman Tiffany of the committee, he did a great job of really drilling down on this in a real short period of time. And each of us were given 5 minutes to speak and then answer questions.
What kind of questions were you asked?
Yeah, you know, actually, the questions they were going to ask me were going to be by Congressman Zinke. He got called in because the he's on appropriations, and so really, it was based on my testimony. You're able to provide written documentation beforehand. Mm-hmm. I think the testimony and the written documentation was really complete, and laid the groundwork for the questions that the Forest Service and the park were put under. And really, again, the Chairman Tiffany kind of put the thumbscrews to the federal agencies.
And I mean, I don't think there's anybody locally that thinks this ticketing system at the park is a good idea.
No, I think you're right. I think, you know, here we don't go on vacation at Glacier Park. We live here and live that. And so when we want to go to Glacier Park, we want to make that decision right now and then leave in the next half hour. And you just can't do that in the current ticketing system. This would give a change in how that ticketing process works so that we're able to make some differences here in a gateway community.
Is there anything that we could do at this point with this ticketing system the way it is?
Congressman Zinke has, in conjunction with this, has also asked that the time that you can go into the park without a ticket be reduced. As you know, this year it got reduced to 3 o'clock, and he's asked for it to be reduced to 1 o'clock. And that any changes in conjunction with that would go through the gateway communities.
How would that be organized from your view? Would it be the county commissioners and the, we don't have incorporated cities up there.
No, we don't. It would be the county commissioners. It would be a direct relationship between us. And then on the east side, because the park this year began requiring tickets for every entrance into the park, including Two Medicine, Mini Glacier, and that means that the tribe on the east side, the Blackfeet Nation, would have a seat at the table for those discussions on that side.
So, well, boy, You know, there is some talk, and I think you brought this up, that it may be time for West Glacier to become an incorporated city.
You know, I think we've got several communities, Big Fork, Lakeside, the canyon itself, because they've really grown together. The communities up there have really grown together, have come to a point where it's time for them to make some decisions about where they want to go. And they have to realize if they become a municipality, they have to provide their own fire service, their own law enforcement if they choose to do that, plus a city council. So their taxes are going to go up. So if they want more services, that would be the direction they would have to go, but it does come with some unintended consequences.
But then it would also allow them to determine their fate.
That's right. Because municipalities fall under different state law, they are allowed to make decisions for themselves that might not be, that might be a little more either inclusive or regulatory in a municipality.
Well, the canyon would be a little more difficult, but I would think a place like Lakeside, it's probably high time.
And Lakeside is really, they've had some discussions about that. I'm not recommending one way or the other because that needs to be a local decision. Mm-hmm. But I would certainly support their authority to work through that process.
And so under your plan here where you testified, if they became incorporated cities, then they would have a seat at the table.
They would likely have a seat at the table because they are in this county. And so they would at least probably, you know, what my vision would be is that we would come together initially as the municipalities and the county and have that discussion about who's going to represent us and what that's going to look like. Mm-hmm. Those rules haven't been put in place because the act hasn't been passed. It is, Senator Daines has, he has a similar act going through on the Senate side, so those would be combined. I think you're going to see some moving parts in it, some amendments to it that will either strengthen it or weaken it, depending on what the will of Congress is.
Well, that's an interesting experience.
Yeah, it was great. It was a little bit of a whirlwind. I flew over a week ago Monday and flew back on Wednesday. And if you know, I took the milk route both directions. I had two layovers, and so it was a real quick turnaround and a pretty grueling trip.
What's it like? Help us understand what it's like walking into the House of Representatives in the U.S. Capitol. That's a pretty sacred place.
Yeah, if you took the Capitol in Montana and made it 10 square miles instead of one building, really, that whole 10 square miles has some part of government in it. And it's a very impressive feeling when you walk into it. When you go from the, say Congressman Zinke's office, if you were to go to the Capitol, which I did a couple times, You actually get on an underground tram just for people in the Capitol, and you make that trip because you would spend your entire day walking, and you wouldn't be able to do a whole lot of testifying.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Interesting experience. Well, we've got our own issues here in Northwest Montana. County Commissioner Randy Brodell is our guest, and we'll dive into some of those next.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever signed up for a product or service and asked for more strings attached, please? I don't think so. What you do want is great service, dependability, and value. Easy, no hassles. We can help you with that. This is Cedar Hardy for Glacier Bank, member FDIC. Totally free checking at Glacier Bank is just that. Free, no fine print, no minimum balance required, and no hidden fees. When you open your account, you'll receive a gift. We hope that's okay. Glacier Bank will also buy back your checks and debit card from another financial institution and apply a $25 credit to your new account. Sound good? It is good. You can depend on Glacier Bank to deliver what we offer. No strings attached. Isn't that what you really want?
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is John Hendricks.
We're talking with County Commissioner Randy Brodell and Randy, when it comes to taxes, everybody's radar goes up into high speed. And when you start talking mills, I start getting lost.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty consistent with most people, including a lot of folks in government. When we're talking about mills, mm-hmm. we're actually talking about a percentage of the value of your community. This coming Sunday, the board of the Montana Association of Counties, the executive board met. And Sunday morning, we began a discussion about what's called looking at the 95 mills that the state has usually put in place to collect from the citizens of Montana that goes into the general fund. Although it's called school mills, it's general fund money. It has nothing to do with schools. It has everything to do with funds that go into the general fund that can be their appropriated money, but can be spent any way that the governor chooses to spend it. And so we began a discussion because there are some caveats in law that say when the property appraisals go up significantly, which as everybody knows they did this year, then the state would have to cap those mills. And so that's what happened this year. And so now we're at a spot where the governor said he wants to mill the entire 95 mills. And but for the law, the Department of Revenue says, no, it's actually, the actual number is 77.9 mills. So what's that mean? There's across the state right now, we're looking at almost $80 million that is in question about whether we tax that or do we not. So we really looked at what happens if you tax according to the law, or do you tax according to what the governor tells you he wants. And so we are having that discussion over the next couple of days, because tax bills are due to come out here at the in October, and we're going to have to make some real rapid decisions because it requires some public comment in a public hearing. So we are looking at that. We had that discussion for the in Montana Association of Counties. We've actually been going through that since from Sunday through Wednesday. Going to be a tough decision. It's about $8 million in Flathead County that we would be looking at. If we go with what the governor has asked us to do, we would have to add that onto the tax rolls. The other decision would be to reduce it by $8 million.
Well, who gets that money, that extra money?
The executive branch. And it is appropriated money, so it can be spent any way that the executive branch chooses. Not the county, not the schools, nothing to do with either one.
That doesn't seem quite right.
Yeah, it's government. government does a lot of things sometimes where you can tuck money away into these kind of big bills, the appropriations bill, which is here in Montana, it's House Bill 2, and it can move through, and it's a huge bill, and it's likely going to be around $6 billion, and so it's easy to tuck little pieces of money here and there, and it might seem like a lot of money, but when you're talking mm-hmm. about billions and billions of dollars, it's easy to tuck that away.
We've been throwing a lot of money around here in the state, it seems to me. Like, we've given everybody an income tax rebate. We've given everybody that owns property a property tax rebate. Is maybe we're realizing that maybe we gave away a little too much money?
I don't think so. I don't think that's the question at all. Okay. I think what the executive would like to do is put that money aside for things that would be priorities for the governor himself, and mm-hmm. and I can't speak for the governor what he's going to do with that money. I know there's a lot of discussion about what are the possibilities, but it would be under his authority because it's appropriated, so it can be spent, but mm-hmm. it's not dedicated to a project.
Mm-hmm. And so I want to be sure I understand what this means, that this is going to take money out of the county and put it up to the state.
That's right. It would be the taxpayers would be expected to, if they do what the governor wants, they would be expected to pay an additional $8 million rather than what the Department of Revenue has said that we can tax, that we have to tax at, which is about $8 million in there.
So our taxes are going to go up.
That's that on the state side, not on the county. Okay, so the county gets, the county's taxes are actually reduced this year. Mm-hmm. And that's been consistent with what we do as county commissioners. We really work to tighten that and keep that tight. The money that that we're talking about here, there's some statute that says you can only raise it at one half the inflation rate. And the governor said, I want to raise it the entire inflation rate. And so we're real concerned. We spent about an hour, the executive board, we spent about an hour and a half with a tax attorney that just focuses on this kind of stuff. And we believe we're in the right on this.
Okay. Hmm. Boy, we got to keep an eye on this situation.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. I think you're going to see it over the next week. You're going to see counties across the state having to make this decision, and it's going to be a very interesting process.
Well, I think a lawsuit is also formed on this, isn't there not?
There is. Brad Molnar, representative out of, I think he's a senator out of Billings.
He's out of Laurel, yeah.
Yeah, and Matt Montfortin, who is an attorney and former legislator. They have filed a suit against the governor. And I think, and so what will happen is if Yellowstone County chooses to tax at the lower rate, it will be, that court case will become moot because that's what he's saying has to be done.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll leave that right now, but we'll sure keep an eye on it. And please keep us informed, okay?
Absolutely. I would say one more thing with that. There's a lawsuit either way.
Okay. The homeless situation in downtown Kalispell, has there been any improvement on that?
You know, anecdotally, I think there has been. And that may be enforcement of some rules that the city's put in place. I think also for us in the county where there is an encampment on county property or on state highway department property, we work with them and clean that up as soon as we get a report of it.
Okay. All right. Well, the other big issue and probably the best news we've had in a while is it looks like we're going to move forward with the septage plant. Robin's going to quiz you about that after
this. All right. Bring it on.
Outfitting your family for winter sports can be a slippery slope. From equipment to clothing, expenses add up faster than a downhill run. This can help. My name is Kristen Delton from Glacier Bank, member FDIC, welcoming you to Save Money Headquarters. The Kalispell Ski Swap is October 7th at the fairgrounds. It's biggest swap around and the place to buy or consign new and used gear. All shapes, sizes, brands, colors, and styles for everyone in your family at a fraction of the cost. Like fresh powder, saving money feels good. So will knowing the proceeds benefit Kalispell Ski Club. Complete details including consignment, early access to the sale, and a family fun night, all at kalispellskiclub.com.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is Robin Mitchell.
Every once in a while, somebody asks me what I do, and I tell them they think it's a glamorous job, and here I am with the septage portion of our conversation.
All flows downhill, right, Robin?
Randy Brodell. So the property has been purchased. We have a deal with Lakeside now?
We have the property purchased. The deal has not been inked, and we really can't ink that deal until we know that Lakeside can take the effluent, the liquids off of this, and they have applied for their permits. They were initially turned down for the process that they were going to use, so they've changed process, and we're waiting to hear back from that. So there is an interlocal agreement that is in place, but it won't go through until we know that they have their permit.
Okay, and they need clearance from DEQ?
DEQ is the... administrative agency in this. And, so they
and they're
have to
a fast-moving agency. That's my experience, anyway.
We have been waiting a long time for this, and it is moving through. And so they have sent it back and said they weren't ready to approve this, but they did say you need to provide more information. Lakeside Summer Sewer and Water is moving ahead with giving them more information.
Okay, now, one of the components of this is the wood chips and everything. Is that still going to be handled at the landfill?
That's our plan right now, and we still have a lot of moving parts in this, so to speak, we do have woody chips that we get at the landfill because we chip all the wood products that come in there, and so we're thinking that it would be the best place to be noise-wise and just equipment-wise. It would help.
And the wood chips are used for composting?
Yeah, they do. They're composted, and then we would be a wholesaler that would sell that out to a retailer.
Okay, so there is some self-liquidating portions of this. I hate to use that. We're talking about the influence and everything. But, so it's...
I think that the timeline on this thing is becoming pretty critical.
It's like a rubber band that you've stretched out there, and you've got a certain amount of elasticity. We're getting real short on elasticity. Yes.
Management guy that I talked to once says, decisions don't get better, they get older.
In this case, smellier.
That's right. Yeah.
That was one thing I ran into the former Flathead County Health Officer, Joe Russell.
Yeah.
We were flying different directions. We wound up with some time in Salt Lake City. And he was just telling me, he says, John, he says, these guys are going to be dumped in sewage along the side of the road if we don't do something quickly, because there's nowhere to put it.
Right. When we are running short on land, and what happens right now is it is tilled into the soils and then it is put into a farm product, and then it is used, for instance, grain for animals. For feed, because you have to have a two-step process in that. So this would change it dynamically in that the water would be taken off and applied to land, but the solids would be kept and turned composted and turned into fertilizer.
I don't think any gardener thinks we have too much compost.
No, I think you're always trying to find the best compost so you can beat the size of the pumpkins that your neighbor's growing.
That's right. I tell you, well, it's cool that you've made this much progress anyway, and hopefully the rest of it will come along as quickly as we need it, because it is, it's getting critical.
Yeah, and I would just tell you that our staff has been absolutely phenomenal, and we looked at over 20 different pieces of property that had potential, and some of them were not for sale, some of them they wouldn't be sold, some of them we have to be able to connect to a wastewater treatment plant. And it has to be close enough to do that. And our staff has just been fantastic in this.
Randy, this is on an entirely different subject, but it's on a personal level. There's a lot going on in the 2024 election cycle.
There is.
And there are some people who are moving up and down and in and out. Are you considering perhaps a statewide run, or perhaps even a national run?
I'm not. I believe my heart right now belongs in the Flathead, and I really think that being a commissioner is where I need to be at. There's been some talk about that. There's been some talk at it, and some questions about on a state office or a federal office. Mm-hmm. That's not where I'm wanting to be. This is where I belong.
Yeah, a little taste of that last week, and that was enough, huh?
Yeah, I enjoyed that back there. The energy there is incredible. Mm-hmm. It's like going to the state house here on steroids, and so you just, I mean, everything is intense.
But we have a lot of local problems that need a lot of attention, and you've been pretty successful at this point of getting some things done here and keeping the lid on expenses here in the Flathead County.
Yeah, and I enjoy that. I think having 8 years in the legislature in the state house here, on appropriations was incredibly valuable to be able to bring that back to the Flathead and be able to spot those things that are moving through our appropriation project process, because the county commissioners here are both the executive branch and the legislative branch. And so we have some incredible responsibilities for taking care of the needs of the Flathead.
Institutional knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember we had just begun the radio station back then, and when Pam Holmquist was elected, and I remember walking into her office to introduce myself, and I couldn't barely see her over the top of the piles of books and everything, and reports that she was reading as fast as she could read them to try to get up to speed.
Right, and it's so critical that we as commissioners, like the legislative body has to do, you have to, if you don't read that, if you're not well-versed in it, you're going to make decisions that you might regret.
And, yeah. So it's that institutional knowledge that you want to, you brought a lot in, so it wasn't quite such a big transition for
right.
you into county government.
Right.
And it's homework that each of you have to do, because you can't compare notes, can you?
No, you can't. We can't talk to each other. And like when we just got back from this MACO conference it was a very intense conference, but we have to take three vehicles because we can't talk to each other. And that, to me, that makes absolutely no sense, but it is what the citizens of Montana want. They want us to be separate so that we don't make any discussion, have any decisions that are made without public input.
Randy Brodel, is always a great conversation. Thanks so much.
Great to see you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, a service of Glacier Bank, where your checking is totally free. Just about anywhere you are in Northwest Montana, you'll find a Glacier Bank office nearby. Keeping you connected to your friends and your community, an important part of the mission of Glacier Bank, member FDIC and an equal housing lender.